Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raindrops are falling on my head, and just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing.
Yeah, that's one of the big hits from 1970, Johnny, which happens to be the year I was born. The year
oh
I was
gosh.
Born.
Wait a minute. Hold on. This can't
I'm
be.
Confessing my age. Yeah. So
well, welcome
take us back there.
Well, in these radio adventures, we realize change is insidious as we come attuned to acclimation and adjustment by living our busy pace of today. And we also keep an eye out for tomorrow, of course. It's really easy to forget how quickly things change and how the familiar and everyday turn into shadowy remembrances of yesteryear. So, case our cases in point, as Rod Serling might have said, we take you to 1970. In those days, there were two people I'd call on for sports news and trivia, past and present, Bob Burns of the Globe and Bob Brigg of the Post. I usually caught up with Bob Burns when he was taking his cigar for a walk, as we lived just four doors from each other. But I'd often phone Bob Brigg for an answer, and also I'd always hear his canary chirping in the background. 1970 was the year the Blues battled the Boston Bruins for the Stanley Cup, but lost out, making it their 12th straight Stanley Cup Finals game loss. Blues coach Scotty Bowman sullenly summed it up simply saying, "The best team won." That year, the baseball Cardinals under Red Chandies ended their season mired in fourth place in the NL East. Oh, Jack Buck and Jim Woods did the calls in KMOX. Some said part of the Cards' problems was the AstroTurf that was in its first year at Busch Memorial Stadium. Our football Cardinals under Charlie Winter and quarterbacked by Jim Hart came in third place in the NFC East. In April of 70, when the Beatles said goodbye, fans said, oh no. But it was true, even though yesterday all their troubles had seemed so far away. But there were bigger troubles, such as when in May, four students at Kent State University were slain by the National Guard after two nights of demonstrations. The students were protesting the use of American troops in Cambodia. Here, we had anti-war rallies and demonstrations on college campuses, including the burning of the ROTC building at Washington U, while some 2,500 people watched. There was also a mass demonstration of hundreds of mostly Wash U and St. Louis U students at the National Guard Armory at Market and Grand. The next day, President Nixon described the campus protesters as bums. Even though these shocking incidents affected us all in some way, for most of us, life went on its merry way. For example, at the zoo, which reminds me of the 1967 Simon and Garfunkel song, two of their inhabitants named Boyle and Olive were the proud parents of a baby black rhino. Zoo director Bob Hoff and the Globe Democrat's gossip guru Bob Goddard break the news. At the time, that paper also had a new gimmick called Reader's Insurance. You could buy it for a dime a week. Oh, in the April 1970 political scene, Missouri Attorney Jack Danforth was running for U.S. Senate. Ed Reising, the right-hand man to St. Louis Mayor Al Cervantes, suggested the city should paint all the trash receptacles in town hot orange. It didn't happen. And Politico's Dick Gephardt and Anthony Sestrick said the city would save a whole lot of money if it would get rid of Kiel Auditorium and the Kiel Opera House. They suggested they should give it away to an entity such as the Civic Center Redevelopment Corporation. Kiel properties? No, they were not given away, but they would be sold. The Opera House, now Stiefel Theater, and the auditorium that was torn down and replaced with Enterprise Center are now owned by the St. Louis Blues Partnership. At Kiel in May 1970, one of the shows was the WIL Shower of Stars with Charlie Pride, Farron Young, Johnny Duncan, and St. Louis's Nick Nixon. Other Kiel Auditorium May attractions in 70 included Jimi Hendrix, plus Falstaff Beer staged The Temptations on one show. On another, they had Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Now, the highest price ticket for any of these shows was $6. For old-style dancing in 70, you couldn't beat the Casa Loma Ballroom, where on Saturday, April 11th, you could dance to the music of Frankie the Polka King Yankovic and his orchestra for $2. On May 16th, Russ Morgan's orchestra, man, that would cost you a little more, $4 to get in. Dining out in 1970 was a little cheaper than today, and Miss Hulling's cafeteria at 11th and Locust or 8th and Olive, you could feast on a salad, spare ribs, sauerkraut, two vegetables, and a beverage for $2.50. Down south, Bud Diekmeyer, 6201 South Broadway, offered a sirloin steak dinner with salad and baked potato. That was $1.75. Coffee would set you back another 10 cents. Piece of homemade pie, 30 cents. For the budget-minded, Kentucky Fried Chicken offered three pieces of chicken, whipped potatoes with gravy on a roll for $1.10. And if you were in the market for a new car, you could get a 1970 Dodge Dart Swinger at King Dodge on South Kings Highway at Filer for $2,095. Next Sunday at 8:50 on KMOX, we'll have a true story from 1965. My next program for Oasis at the Clayton Recreation Center, Tuesday, September 23rd. It'll be at a new time, 10:15. It's called Growing Up in St. Louis. It'll be a nostalgic journey from the late 1800s to the 21st century. To reserve a place, contact stloasisnet.org or just show up before 10:15 on the 23rd. Now, guess who we're going to hear next in KMOX? Well, it's not going to be Gabriel Heater, not Rex Davis or John Rodel, not Edward R. Murrow, not Lowell Thomas, but it will be, I'm sure you've guessed it by now, Scott Jagow. There he is, so let's all listen intently.
Thanks for the introduction, Johnny.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.